Our Acts passage this morning comes right after Peter and John, the apostles, have healed a man that could not walk. In the scripture I read, we hear Peter's second sermon in the book of Acts. He has several. His first sermon was back in chapter 2, after the Holy Spirit appeared at Pentecost. After the sermon at Pentecost, the Bible says about 3,000 persons were added to the number of Christ believers. Our sermon from Peter that we have here is said to have added about 5,000 to their number. What is so compelling about these sermons? They both follow pretty amazing miracles. The first, God has revealed the Holy Spirit and the meaning of the scriptures to the disciples. Peter speaks with confidence and ease. He has been redeemed from his three-time denial of Jesus, and he heals a man that has been unable to walk his entire life. These are both pretty compelling events to precipitate conversion. But let me take you through verses 1 through 11 of chapter 3 so you can get a better idea of what Peter is talking about. Peter and John were on their way to the temple for evening prayers. They are devout. They still worship the God of Israel. They are trying to set an example for their community. They came across a man at the entrance that sat there every day to ask for money. He could not go inside the temple because he was considered afflicted, so he sat outside and begged for help. Something prompted him to speak directly to Peter and John to ask for help. Peter stopped what he was doing and looked at the man. He asked the man to look at him in return. The demonstration of divine mercy is always that personal. You have to look people in the eye. The beggar might have been expecting a generous donation after all this personal attention. But Peter says, "I don't have any money, but I will give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." The beggar stands up and walks. He follows Peter and John into the temple, and not only was his mobility restored, but his religious participation as well. He could go in. He jumped up and began to walk, leaping and praising God, and when they went in the temple, he clung to Peter and John, so that all the people were following them, because they recognized this as the man who had been sitting in front of the temple as long as they could remember. This is where Peter starts his sermon. Peter and John have just healed the man, and this is not a new image for us. We've seen Jesus do this countless times, but this is the first healing story or miracle we see after Pentecost, and Peter is the one who says the words. I think it's incredible. I love healing stories, and I love them because they give me hope. I don't know that I will ever be able to tell someone who's never walked to get up and walk, but there is something to the confidence that Peter exhibits. He is clearly different now that the Spirit has touched him. Not too different, because he does get frustrated in typical Peter fashion. He's frustrated with the crowd because they are filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. How dare they? But Peter wants to be clear about who healed this man. It was not Peter. He says, "Why are you surprised?" he asks them. "This healing has everything to do with God." When Peter begins his speech, he is surrounded by fellow Jews. Historically, this passage has been read as if Peter is the other, trying to convince the crowd to follow Jesus. But Peter is anything but an outsider or other. He is a Jew among Jews. Peter belongs in this place. What he is saying is an invitation, a plea, a summons. "Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Peter is finally in a place where he gets it. To him, it is the most clear message. We did not do this miracle. the name of Jesus Christ did this, and you too could do this if you believe. In September, I started volunteering at this amazing organization here in Georgetown called the Ride On Center for Kids, or the ROC for short. ROC is a nonprofit organization that provides equine-assisted services to children, adults, and veterans with physical, cognitive, and emotional challenges. Horse therapy. It's awesome. I learned about it from Kelly, who is friends with the development director. The youth group last summer went to paint one of their many black metal fences that always needs painting because it's outside. And we had a really good time. I was absolutely amazed by the facility and the work they do there. I was also very intrigued by the horses. I have never worked with horses before. I don't have a ton of experience around them, but isn't it every girl's dream to have a horse? Maybe. Anyway, so I now, starting in January, have been the one to get to lead the horses through some of the classes. And it is a big responsibility. There's a rider on that horse, and horses can be unpredictable. ROC has an amazing staff, but the way they're able to function is because of volunteers. 91% of the workforce is volunteers. There's so much that I could say about this place, and I'm not trying to sell it to you, I promise. But first, I want to try to give you a picture of what it takes on a daily basis to keep it running smoothly and able to give to so many families. Each weekday at the ROC, there are between 20 and 30 classes that take place between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. Each class may need up to 5 volunteers. One to lead the horse and make sure that the horse behaves, which is called a horse handler, and up to 4 sidewalkers, depending on the level of riding and physical need. A sidewalker is someone that is responsible for the safety of the rider. They walk alongside the horse and make sure the student is not off kilter. Each class also needs a horse. Each class needs an instructor. And sometimes the instructors have up to 3 riders they're working with at a time. And you also need the caregivers of the students to drop them off and pick them up. The volunteer work that I do most often is horse handling, which is guiding the horses during class, and sidewalking, which is walking next to the rider to help them, you know, focus and stabilize. And for each class to happen, there are so many factors that must come together, so many people that must work together. Family, I tell you, I have seen so many miracles out there. They are not flashy. Huge crowds do not gather to wonder at the amazing healings that have taken place. But all who step onto the ROC property are witnesses to the miracles they are doing. There are riders that are unable to hold themselves up, so the sidewalkers do it for them. Can you imagine a horse, someone sitting on a horse, and you have to hold up their body for an hour? That's hard work. Sidewalkers have to work together because their arms get tired, and so they have people that they switch in and out with. They take turns. Then there are the riders that need help with focusing and following instructions, or need help with speech. Nancy Krennick, the founder of ROC, wrote this in the annual review. "The devoted ROC staff, selfless volunteers, generous donors, and our gentle equine partners come together to create a truly remarkable environment where miracles unfold every single day." On Friday, my miracle was that the rider I worked with stayed focused through the entire class and was able to finish the hour on the horse, which is a rare occurrence. Other miracles are when a horse lets one of the riders kiss her forehead each week and stays perfectly still. They're gentle, but they're also wild, so it's a miracle. Or when a rider that does not communicate verbally is able to tell their horse to walk on or woe. Or when I'm talking to a veteran that comes to the ROC Veteran Program and they tell me they would not be here if it wasn't for the program at the ROC. I guess what I'm trying to say is because of my involvement there, I have come to realize that we are the miracles. Through the overwhelming love and grace of God, miracles are done every day in the name of Jesus. Giving back to others and helping those in need is how we were shown to live. And all the ways we interact with others and with ourselves are opportunities for miracles. In the 2003 film Bruce Almighty, Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, after yelling at God for not making things happen the way he wants, he's given the power of God. God, who's played by Morgan Freeman, says, "You think you can do better? Okay, you got it. I'm on vacation." With newfound power, Bruce does many things. Some good, some really not so good. He causes a colleague that he's jealous of to stumble over their words during a live news broadcast. He moves traffic out of his way so he doesn't have to wait. And he makes the moon bigger to impress his girlfriend. But the one thing he truly wants, he can't force, which is for his girlfriend to love him. The best part of this movie is this part that I'm about to tell you about. So Bruce is sitting in a diner. He has a bowl of tomato soup in front of him. And I guess he gets inspired by the red liquid because he decides it's the Red Sea and he's going to part it. And it's a very dramatic scene, even though it's just a tiny bowl of soup. But he parts the soup in half and he's very proud of himself. And then all of a sudden, God shows up in the booth right across from him and says, "Having fun?" Bruce is shocked. But the conversation continues like this. God says, "Parting your soup isn't a miracle, Bruce. It's a magic trick. A single mom who works two jobs and still finds time to take her kid to soccer practice, that's a miracle. A teenager who says no to drugs and yes to an education, that's a miracle. People want me to do everything for them, but what they don't realize is they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle." Bruce ends up being the miracle for his community, and through that, he gets the love and life he dreamed of. But he had to stop waiting for and trying too hard to make the good things he wanted happen. If we spend all our time wishing for big miracles and praying for the flashy to happen, we miss what God has given us. God has blessed us beyond imagining. It's true, we do not always get what we ask for. And in fact, we suffer quite a bit in this world. It's not an easy place. Peter attests to that. He struggled through Jesus' entire ministry to understand the actions and words of Jesus. He always had questions and always seemed to be off. But when he stopped to let Jesus do what Jesus does, Peter finally got the picture. The writers at the ROC that suffer from physical, cognitive, and emotional challenges that make their lives so difficult find peace and recovery through caring people and loving horses. We all have the ability to do miracles. That is what Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for. The power of the Holy Spirit has not lessened over time. The way healing miracles play out today is a little different. It's harder, I think. We are exposed to so many different ideas and thoughts. What would happen if we all just believed we could do miracles in the name of Jesus? See, I don't think it has anything to do with God picking and choosing who gets the miracle and who doesn't. I think it has everything to do with us. We are the vessel through which God works in this world. The way we live and love is how we show our faith. If we believe in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, we can do so many things, impossible things. Yet we doubt ourselves, and in doing so, we doubt the power of Jesus' sacrifice. We watch the flashy miracles and we want to be a part of them, but we already are. Being here in this time, in this place, and living the way Jesus taught us to, we are living the miracles. We are the miracles. We are the ones through which God does miracles and amazing things in this world. Our compassion, our love, our time, our gifts. We are all in this together, and we must rely on one another, trust one another, and trust that God has us. Trust that even though it feels like all we can see is violence, sadness, and hate sometimes, we remember we don't have to go far to look for miracles. Look at the stars. Look at our neighbors in need. Look at all the people here this morning. You are all members of God's kingdom on this earth. You can all be and do miracles. Amen.